It's the next gear on podtech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. We're here at the Alternative Fuels Expo in Anaheim. And in the space of alternative fuels, the gases are getting a little bit more scrutiny than perhaps they have in the past. And here to talk about all things gas is Peter Ressel. He is President and Chief Operating Officer of FTI International Group Incorporated, an Ontario, Canada-based company. And Peter, it's a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you.
First of all, talk to us about FTI International Group. It's been around for a while, I understand.
FTI's been around for a number of years in different forms. It's changed its name a few times. It's changed ownership a few times. But the current version that you see behind me is the one that we're promoting around the world. Mm-hmm. We have an extensive product range that we can sell to various people. It started out being just CNG dispensers, but we're now able to provide complete fueling stations featuring different sizes of compressors from 250 cubic meters upwards. We can provide dryers, electronic storage systems, CNG dispensers, hydrogen dispensers. Mm-hmm. And we've done a little bit of work in LNG and also mixing hydrogen and natural gas, which is actually called hythane.
Hythane, yeah. I would imagine that your business paradigm has changed substantially within the more recent term.
Yeah, that increased scrutiny is really beginning to take place here in North America. Our marketplaces have traditionally been out in Asia. We sell quite extensively into India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. And those places made the decision to go to alternative energy forms many, many years ago.
Why do you think that is? And why do you think America has been so slow to be on the uptake of it?
You know, some of it is my personal opinion. Some of it is facts that I'll share you from speeches. You know, a lot of those countries don't have an indigenous form of oil. So they have a couple of options. Either they can join the bandwagon and go along and build an economy that's based on oil, or they can find alternative energies. And they happen to have significant amounts of sun available to them. They have wind available to them. And they've got natural gas that comes from countries that they have strong economic ties, political ties with. So they've been able to import gas in a more reliable way than they could probably get their hands on oil. I'll tell you a story. A couple of years ago, I had dinner with a very important man in India. And when I asked him why was there so much emphasis being put on alternative energies in India, he pointed out that the Indian government had decided to avoid a military conflict with somebody the size of China 20 years henceforth over the supply of oil. So they were looking at alternative energies. Now, I don't know how much credence there is specifically to his comments, but that story resonated with me, and it makes me think, yeah, there really is something there. You can't build an economy on oil today, solely on oil. And if you're trying to build your economy like a country like India or Pakistan, Bangladesh, then find an alternative way around that. Here in North America, there's a certain amount of, acknowledgement that oil is going to be around forever. It isn't well-founded, but a lot of people don't believe that it's ever going to dry up. And oil is relatively cheap still. You know, when you travel around the world and you see a liter or a gas of petrol, a liter or a gallon of petrol being 4, 5, 6, 10 times the price it is here in North America, it makes you think alternative fuels. Here in North America, the total cost of energy, whether it be natural gas, electricity, petrol, is still relatively cheap. And when you consider that with people's salaries and how much disposable income after they've got, after the sort of absolute necessities, there isn't a big driver. And then the governments. The governments don't put a lot of emphasis on alternative energies. Yes, it becomes a point that they make in speeches at the right moment when they feel they've got to get re-elected. When it's a budget speech, they make those comments. But there is no consistent, high-profile, high-investment plan to really push alternative energies. It's coming. These shows are great. You show interest. But even a show like this, I mean, the aisles aren't packed. You go to a show which is based around organic foods, and the aisles are probably packed, and there's probably more stands than there are. There's an alternative energy. So it's coming. It's getting better over the years, but it needs a significant push, and it's going to be pushed probably by people like here, not just the people who are exhibiting, but there's a lot of proponents of alternative energy here as well.
And so your company is primarily focusing on the gases, CNG, hydrogen,
yes,
and natural gas. and the likes. And I heard a figure that you've got something like 4,000 of these dispensers deployed.
Yeah, it's not quite that high. We have about 2,500 CNG dispensers around the world. They've been manufactured and engineered over the various forms that FTI has taken. But there's about 2,500. Again, they're predominantly in Asia. Mm-hmm. There's upwards of 800 in Pakistan alone. So,
are you finding that those governments are supporting you as a private entity a little bit more? Or are you getting some support from them?
They don't support us as a private entity. What they do is they support the application of CNG in their country by making it attractive with reduced import duties on CNG type products. So it's not that my particular company benefits, it's the whole CNG industry that benefits from a government approach. So whether you're importing product from North America, New Zealand, the UK, anywhere, everybody benefits from that same program.
And are you a privately held company or are you a public company?
Yeah, no, we're a privately held company at the moment. That may change in the future, but a lot of that will depend on how the market develops.
What are you finding as the challenges in your industry right now to try and get a larger market share or deploy more of these units?
All of the sales around the world for us are done in US dollars. We operate in Canadian dollars. So over the last year, we've seen ourselves suffer because of the significant improvement in the value of the Canadian dollar. That's probably our single biggest challenge.
Interesting answer. I've never heard that from anybody else, but that you bring it down to a conversion rate.
It's a conversion rate because, you know, the marketplaces, as I say, that we do business in, they have an idea of what the product is worth. They won't go above that. You can talk a little bit around it, but the discount that you can give them, 5%, whatever number you come up with, they're small compared with the impact of the increased value of the Canadian dollar over the last 12, 18 months.
Wow. I mean, it's good to see on one hand, but on the other hand, it can negatively impact a business.
It's negatively impacted us, but we've also, it's forced us to make changes to our procurement process, to the way we deal with manufacturing issues. So we found solutions to those things. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was good that we were competitive. Otherwise, we'd have probably been in a much worse financial condition. But the single element that drove us in that direction was really the exchange rate and the fact that we were losing our margin. Now, we haven't been able to restore that margin 100% with what we've done, but we are making a positive gross margin on our products. And should something change with the exchange rate, we'll benefit from that. But we can't rely on the exchange rate to really be the way for us to make money. We've got to manage the business ourselves.
And as these gas dispensers go, these are actually for public stations. Is that
they are for public stations. Most of the ones are actually purchased by individuals.
Oh.
The marketplace in different countries is different ways. Again, if we talk about India, for instance, the dispensers that we sell there tend to be bought by companies. And each city in India is beginning to establish a CNG infrastructure, and they take different forms, but a local company has got the rights to build CNG fueling stations. In Pakistan, it's individuals that buy CNG fueling stations, and these are people who've got some money that they wish to invest, and they invest in a fueling station. There are company-owned fueling stations, but the vast majority of fueling stations in Pakistan are owned by individuals.
Interesting.
So there's different formats, and I think that's one of FTI's strengths. We've been able to adjust our business model to take account of the idiosyncrasies of each of the different countries that we do business in.
You're primarily focused on gases. Do you envision venturing into other dispensers of, say, ethanol or...?
Not at this point. You know, I'm a big believer we need to focus. Diversifying at this stage of the game is not part of our strategic plan.
And in terms of your final thoughts about the future of your company, the promise that your company represents to widely disperse this type of technology and make it affordable to, you know, governments and individuals from a variety of economic backgrounds, give me your final thoughts on that.
We want to sell the product wherever it's needed around the world. We're very keen on partnering in each of those countries we sell in. There's no intention of actually shipping the product from Canada to everywhere in the world. I think that we want to make the CNG dispenser available, and if that can be done by joint venturing with a local domestic partner in the company we sell, then we'll do that. That will help the proliferation of CNG and the adoption of it around the world. And that's the approach we want to take.
And here in North America?
Here in North America, it's a much more difficult statement to bring to conclusion. There isn't a cohesive plan for the adoption of CNG. There are some people who dabble in it. There are a lot of fleet operators of CNG, but there's no real push to have it adopted domestically by the general public. It just doesn't seem to be there yet. It will come, but I don't know exactly when that will be.
We'll look forward to hearing more about the adoption of CNG and these dispensers and their utilization in this new technology. Peter Ressel, President and COO of FDI International Group out of Ontario, Canada. It's a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you very much.
For the next year, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.